Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The transition from campaigning to governing has become far more complex over the years. Managing through this transition period presents some of the greatest challenges and biggest opportunities for the new administration. In our special edition of the Business of Government Hour today, focusing on advice for the new administration, we are pleased to have as our special guest, Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Tough Customers. Mr. Katz posits that the wisdom of the lion tamers bridges the arena and the workplace, providing valuable insights and strategies to help one effectively engage with the powerful people around us. Steve, welcome to our show. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Albert. Appreciate it.
Also joining our conversation is Jonathan Bruhl, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Jonathan, good to have you as always.
Thanks.
So, Steve, with a title like Lion Taming, it's hard to really start anyplace else. So why the lion, and are bosses in the federal workplace really lions?
I thought of the lion taming metaphor in a very ordinary way. I was going to work on the subway on the Red Line in Washington, D.C. several years ago. And the day before, in the Sunday Washington Post, an article was written about a woman I used to work for. And she had just become Hillary Clinton's chief of staff in the White House. I didn't think it was a great article, but didn't have anybody to really say anything to. And yet that next morning, I'm on the Red Line, and this woman, her name was Milan Verveer, Milan's daughter, gets on my subway car at the Woodley Park stop and doesn't even say good morning. She just looked at me and said, Steve, we should never have agreed to that article. I said to her, you know, Alexis, you're right. They missed what your mom's really all about. And she looked at me and said, what's that? And I remember this distinctly, holding onto the pole as the train lurched forward. And I said, she's a lion tamer. And I did go immediately to my office and register liontaming.com on Network Solutions, though I honestly didn't do anything more for about 4 years on the book. What I did realize, though, is that being a lion tamer is a relevant metaphor for two reasons. Later, I found out that, in fact, lions are the only social feline. They worry about things in the natural world that people worry about. For example, they worry about their dominance. They worry about their territory. They worry about who else knows that they're a lion. And they worry about their survival. I think bosses are lions. I use lion, by the way, not as a negative connotation. Part three of my book is called Lion Taming is Really Lion Teaming. And what I learned, because I actually went out and found every real lion tamer in America that I could find, and including Ringling Brothers. So I spent a lot of time with them, including some trips on the road. And I found out that, you know what? Lions really are like the people in the workplace.
Interesting. Now, in your book, you counsel your readers to understand these so-called political lions, not as individuals, but as distinct species with certain unique traits or hardwired traits. Can you give me some more perspective on these so-called hardwired traits, and why is understanding these traits key to communicating and working effectively with the lions?
Well, I think that the lions, both in the wild and in the workplace, are hardwired in certain ways. And the real lion tamers I met made this very clear to me because they found that, first of all, not only can you not change these traits, but so often they are the keys to actually how the lion learns. So some of the hardwired traits are the traits that I tell people you can observe them without fearing them. For example, lions tend to be very thick-skinned, or at least they appear to be, but they also take everything personally. I'd also like to think that they remain sure-footed while keeping everybody else off balance. They like to be commanding, but somehow they always need to be understood. They are sometimes very needy. And people often confuse the image of strength or the desire to be strong with these other ironies. So I would say their most hardwired trait is they are predictably enigmatic, and they like it that way. So how do you use any of these qualities to actually be more effective in working with them? Well, let's take, for example, their need to be dominant. Their need to be dominant is not always to be domineering. There's all sorts of lions. You know, there's the apex predators. There are the more passive, even passive-aggressive lions. There's the good pride leader, same in the organization, a good CEO, a good manager, a good managing partner. And there's cowardly lions. And more than anything, there's nomadic lions. The nomadic lions, just like in the wild, they want their piece of flesh, but they don't want any responsibility, and they don't want any headcount, right? And so they are out there, too. My first observation and lesson to readers and listeners is you actually should try to pick your lions because there's good lions and bad lions. I worked for John Glenn in the Senate. He's clearly a good lion. I've worked for others who don't match at all his capability. And then you got to realize that oftentimes the issue, and you see this in political transitions, there's more than one lion in the room. They all want dominance, territory, social standing, and survival. What does that tell you? That behavior is going to be dominant when they are together. It's not a good place to get work done.
So, Steve, why is it when folks hear the term lion applied to the workplace, they assume and fear the worst? From your perspective, why is such a reaction limiting and really not accurate?
It's a great question, Jonathan. I think that we're trained as humans to fear lions, and rightly so. They are fearsome, and I think in the workplace, most people are intimidated by power and titles and strength. I suppose, yes, you got to be a certain type of person to want to work with them. My view is this, particularly in government, but I'd also say the same as in business. Lions need lion tamers. Leaders need people who can help lead them. Your job is to help them be successful in new ways. The reason they can't do it on their own is for the same reason that we always say leaders are isolated, that they don't get out enough, that they only talk to the people they already know. You know, in the past, for example, when Louis Freeh came to the FBI, there was criticism that when he wanted to know something, as a former agent, he would pick up the phone and call all his buddies. I don't think he realized that that was just another alley he was going down. It was not broadening his view. These are wild in some ways, uncontrollable, living by their own rules. They're not looking for a paradigm. They are the paradigm. What do you do in that situation? Well, it depends. And I do say this, and a real lion tamer told me, Steve, I'd never go into the cage of a lion if I didn't know what kind of day he was having. I think you need to assume that they are in the position they are in for a reason. Now, you also have to gauge how much you can work with them and what close relationship you can do it. But I would advise people this. Believe it or not, your job is not to become their friend, but you do have to develop a rapport and trust. One of the observations that a scientist made that I use in the book is that lions divide their world between prey, the enemy, and ignored. And where do you want to be on that list? Too many federal employees that I've met want to be ignored. They want to be left alone. You don't want to be prey. You don't want to be the enemy. I don't think you want to be ignored either. So you want to add a fourth category. You want to be a visible supporter, lion tamer, if you will, lion teamers, even better. And first, they need to know who you are, what you can do to help them.
Well, let's look at this a little further. Why is it important to understand the difference between a good lion and a bad lion? And what does that mean in terms of the skills of the lion tamer, on depending on whether you've got a good lion or a bad lion?
Okay. Well, for those who are interested, when you look at the book Lion Taming, I have a long list of what makes for good lion tamers and what makes for bad. The good lion tamers do many things right. How they treat people, by the way, is one of the most important signs. How fair they are, how interested they are in what you're doing, and whether you understand what they have to say. The bad lions have a lot of behavioral issues that seem to take over. Lion tamers present the lion, not the other way around. You have to know that because if you don't, you're going to get crosswise with them on dominance, territory, social standing, and survival, and they're not going to trust you, and they're not going to let you help at all. The problem with the bad lions, who, by the way, not only behave in the way that I've described, but they also are driven more by their insecurities than the good lions. And they're much tougher to deal with. And so you have to spend a lot more time making them feel strong and effective. And you have to narrow your focus, this is my personal belief, on setting goals, or what I call hoops of fire, for them to leap through so they can see their successes and want to do more. And by the way, you're going to get all kinds in a new administration.
So, Steve, and I jumped in right away and asked you about the lions, but to be fair, before we continue, I'd like to step back for a moment and understand more about you and your career. Sure. How'd you get started, and what brought you to this point?
I came to Washington 25 years ago after degrees in anthropology, American history, and law. I, by and large, spent most of my time working in the public sector. I had in addition to doing a lot of research that was very community-based in undergrad and grad school, even during law school, instead of going to work for a high-powered firm, I actually worked both for a federal magistrate in the U.S. District Courts, and I also was selected for a fairly prestigious internship by a large foundation in Chicago, which was giving away in those days $30 million a year.
How is lion taming everyone's real job? We'll explore this perspective with Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Top Customers, when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.